sweet, sweet spirit in this place. And I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face, and I know they feel the presence of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for these blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to see all of you here this morning. As you're able to, please stand for our first hymn, Maker in Whom We Live, number 88, if you're following along in the United Methodist hymnal. Thank you for remaining standing as we affirm our faith together with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
And to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
may be seated. At this time, we'd like to bring our prayer requests as well as our praises before the body and before the Lord. If you will, keep our friend Jess in your prayers. She's been here one time. She lives in North Carolina. She had her annual checkup, and they found some aberrations. They think that she might have cancer, maybe ovarian of some sort, but they're not sure. So she has to have a procedure done to check and all that kind of stuff. So just keep her in your prayers, if you will. And then we want to keep Clayton's friend Jamie and her father in our prayers. Her father, they think he may have colon cancer. And so we want to pray for him. And then for Jamie, Clayton says she's just kind of had a rough go of it the last little while. So we'll keep her in our prayers as well. Does anyone else have any requests that they would like to share with us? Yes, sir.
I have a praise. I had a hearing test this week.
Okay.
And they said I didn't need hearing aids yet.
All right. Well, I'm glad you don't have to have any hearing aids. That's a good thing. Ms. Morgan. Okay. And what's her name?
Crystal.
Crystal? Okay. Y'all also keep Wanda in your prayers. She's battling a sinus infection. We had to hog tie her and drag her to the clinic, but she went and they gave her some antibiotics and such, and I saw her Friday and she seemed pretty miserable, so keep her in your prayers. I know she'll appreciate it. And then also, Pat messaged me last night and said that to keep the Jones family in our prayers. The son that we've been praying for passed away yesterday, I believe she said. So they're dealing with the aftermath of that. So just keep them in your prayers, if you will. Does anyone else have any requests they'd like to share with us? Yes, ma'am.
I'd like prayer for my grandson. I won't go into details, but he's going through a trial right now, and I hope he gets through it. Nothing bad.
Okay.
but he needs prayer. He really does. And also my son.
Okay. And what are their names?
Jim and Eric.
Jim and Eric. All right. All right. Does anyone else have any requests they'd like to share with us? All right. If not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we can spend together in fellowship with one another and in worship of you. Lord, we invite your spirit to dwell amongst us as we attempt with your help to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we ask that you would be with all of the situations that were mentioned today, with Jess, that you would be with her, be with her doctors, and with all those involved in her treatment. Help them to determine what, if anything, is wrong and how to deal with it. We pray also for Jamie, that you would give her peace during this time, and that you would be with her father and with his doctors and his treatment team. Lord, we also pray for Crystal, that you would give her wisdom, discernment, and peace, and all the things that she needs to come through this period of life that she finds herself in. And may you also be with Jim and with Eric and all that they're going through with their situations and everything that they are currently dealing with. Lord, we also pray for Wanda. Pray that you would help her to feel better, and that you would help all those who are struggling with allergies and sinuses and those types of things at this time in the year where we all seem to like to get a little sick. May you be with us all. And Lord, we thank you for the good news that Dave doesn't have to have hearing aids. We also pray that you would help Sharon to remember that if he doesn't hear, it's not because he doesn't have hearing aids. So, Lord, we thank you for all these things and for so many more. As we go forth in our worship service, may we learn to hear your voice, to respond in a positive way, and to follow Christ in all things. We pray all these things and so many more in the beautiful and glorious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we pray together the words he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If we could have our children come down at this time, we will have our children's time. Good morning, everybody. Good to see all of you here. All of you have fancy shoes today, I see. We got blinking shoes. We got shoes that have been dipped in red paint and sparkling.
Mine can do different modes.
Yours can do different modes.
I can do that one and then also do this one.
Wow. Can I borrow those?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, that was my answer to that. Wow.
And then also turn off.
Oh, and you can turn them off, too. Do they blink when you walk and stuff, too? Like, because you walk?
No, you can turn them on and stomp, they turn on.
Oh, okay. Those are pretty neat. Y'all's don't do anything, right? Nothing fancy? Mine don't do anything fancy. Well, it's interesting that we all have different types of shoes because that's kind of what I was going to talk about today, was feet. So there's this story where Jesus is having a meal with his disciples, right? And while he's there, he goes to wash their feet. In this culture, feet got kind of dirty. They either didn't wear shoes or they might wear sandals, that kind of thing. And they didn't always have sanitation, so there was, you know, animal droppings and all kinds of stuff. And feet got really gross. And so Jesus comes and washes their feet for them. And he tells them that the reason he's doing this is to show them that he's not there so that they will serve him, but he's there so that he can serve them. And then he tells them, you have to do the same thing. So Jesus uses this illustration to remind them that in Christianity, the greatest thing to do is to help other people. And that's kind of our goal. It's not supposed to be, what do we do? What do we get out of it? But instead, it's, what can we do to help other people? And that's the mark of a Christian, is how much do they show that they love by helping people. So if we want to follow Jesus, we have to sometimes take off our pretty cool shoes and wash people's feet or other things. Think y'all can do that sometime? My feet are kind of dirty. Anybody want to wash my feet? Guess I have to wash them myself. All right, well, let's say a prayer then. Lord, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for these children. May you bless all of these children here. May you bless all the ones who can't be here with us today. May you bless all of those who live in this world, Lord, all children everywhere. And may you help us to have childlike faith. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, y'all can head on to Children's Church if you'd like. If we could have our ushers come forward at this time, we will worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. As we prepare to give back of those blessings, may we be reminded, as always, that we do not give out of guilt or fear, pride or greed, or any negative reason. Rather, Lord, we give out of love and devotion for you and love for neighbor. May you bless the givers, may you bless the receivers, and may all come to know Christ, for it is in his name that we pray. Amen. Thank you for remaining standing. Our next hymn will be Yesu, Yesu, number 432, if you're following along in the hymnal. Thank you for remaining standing as we read scripture. Our scripture today is found in the second chapter of the book of Genesis, verses 15 through 23. Moses writes, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall die.' Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner.' So out of the ground the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, to every animal of the field. But for the man, there was found no helper as his partner. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs, closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, 'This is at last bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one was taken.'" This is the word of God to the people of God. Praise be to God. You may be seated. Well, I tricked you. You thought Judas was the last disciple, but he's not. Jesus actually had lots of other disciples besides the 12. We don't know exactly how many, but there was a following that he had. The 12 are the named male disciples, but as we see from this picture, Jesus had some women disciples as well. We know of four. We know Mary, Martha, Mary Magdalene, and at some point, Mary, the mother of Jesus, became a disciple. She's there at the crucifixion. We know that in the Gospel of Mark, she doesn't start out as a disciple. She kind of wonders what's wrong with Jesus. She thinks he might be a little nutty. She goes with his other siblings to try and get him to come home and quit doing all this crazy stuff. But at some point, his entire family actually become Christians. To us, it's not that big of a deal that Jesus had women as disciples, but in this culture, it's a huge deal. If we lived in some cultures to this day, we would understand what a big deal it is. There are actually cultures where they will kill women for trying to get a basic education. You probably hear on the news every once in a while how in certain places, militants and fanatics and all will go and they'll have a school for girls or something and they'll try and destroy the school. They'll try and threaten people to get the women to not be able to have a basic education. And it wasn't quite like that in Jesus's time, primarily because women just didn't get an education. It just wasn't done. There wasn't anybody that was saying, we need to give women a basic education. In this culture, the first century in Israel, women were seen as not even second-class citizens a lot of times. Sometimes they were ranked below certain beasts of burden. Sometimes a mule was more valuable than a woman. A woman's primary purpose at this time was to give you children and take care of the house. Women didn't get much of an education beyond that. That's why when you read scripture, a lot of scripture is written to men. It's not because God doesn't want women to hear these things, but it's because within that cultural framework, the men were the ones who learned things. The men were the ones who were able to be taught in these kinds of things. And so the idea was that you tell the men and then the men tell the women, right? We even see this a little bit in the New Testament. And it's a passage in the New Testament that gets misinterpreted quite often. But There's a passage in one of Paul's writings where Paul says that women need to shut up while they're in church, right? Paul doesn't mean that women can't talk in church. What Paul means is that in this particular church setting, the men and the women were separated by gender, right? The men sat up front because, again, the men were the ones that learned. The women sat in the back because the women were the ones that took care of the kids and did all these kinds of things. And so what would happen was this. We'd have a man here. We'll use Dave since Sharon's not here and we can pick on Sharon. So say Dave is sitting up here right at the very front, right? He's a very prominent man. And Sharon's sitting way back there where Don is. Don's going to be Sharon today. And so Don can't hear too well. Don Sharon can't hear too well. Shouts up, "Hey, Dave, what did he just say? Well, I can't hear him." And Dave's sitting there going, he'll either say something like, "Be quiet, I'm trying to listen." Or he'll be like, "Oh, he said, but..." And it was causing problems, right? Other people couldn't hear. And you can imagine if multiple people are having these different conversations, shouting across, you know, the building and everything, it's causing chaos. So Paul is simply saying, listen, in this situation, be quiet. Let the husbands who hear, because they're up front, hear. And when they get home, they'll tell you what they heard. That's what Paul's talking about. That's all Paul's talking about. He's not talking about anything more than stop disrupting the worship service. That's all he's saying. But in this culture, women were seen as less than. Women couldn't be witnesses in trials. If a woman witnessed something, she had to have a man be a character witness for her so that they knew that whatever she said was worth taking, you know, at its face value. I've said before the word hysterical and the word hysterectomy come from the same root, because if you give a woman a hysterectomy, she'll quit being hysterical. That's how that came about. Women were seen as dramatic, untrustworthy, even deceitful. After all, it's Eve's fault, right? Right? It's all Eve's fault, right? But God, in his great sense of humor, does some interesting things in the story of Jesus when it comes to women. The first thing that God does is includes women in Jesus' genealogy. That's not usually done, because in this culture, who your dad is important. Your granddad is important, so on. Nobody cares who your mom is, right? Unless she was somebody like really important, you know. But otherwise, nobody cares who your mom is. But in Jesus' genealogy, we have a few women who show up, including Rahab, who was, depending on how you translate the Hebrew, she could have been a prostitute, she could have been running a brothel. She was a woman of ill repute. We'll just leave it at that. But she's there, right in the middle of Jesus' genealogy. And that sort of foreshadows what's going to happen with women in Jesus' ministry. We go through Jesus' ministry, and we see Jesus encounter different women. First off, Jesus lets himself be taken care of by two women. Don't tell anybody, because, you know, that's kind of scandalous, a man letting two women take care of him, right? Give him a place to live and food and all that kind of stuff. But Jesus lets two women take care of him, Mary and Martha. And he makes them his disciples. We're told a story where one of them is sitting at his feet being instructed, and the other one is rebuked for not sitting at his feet and being instructed. Jesus encounters a woman with an issue of blood, is how Scripture says it. This woman is ceremonially unclean, constantly. She has lived with this issue for 12 years. She spent time, money, pain to try and get it healed. Nothing happens. And so the story goes that there's a big crowd around Jesus. And this woman says, if I can just touch his garments, he'll heal me. She says, I don't even want to bother him. I'm not significant enough to even bother him. But if I can just touch him, it'll be enough. And so she does, and Jesus feels power go out of him. And he says, who touched me? And of course, the disciples think, you know, like, Jesus, there's like hundreds of people standing around here. Are we really going to figure out who touched you? Lots of people have been touching you. But Jesus insists. He says, somebody touched me. I felt power go out. And this woman admits it. She says, I did it. And Mark tells us that she's terrified because she had the audacity to touch a holy man. And she was unclean. And she thinks, at best, I'm going to be ridiculed. At worst, they might kill me. But what she doesn't know is that Jesus is God in the flesh. And there's something interesting we've talked about in our Bible study in Mark. Mark keeps pointing something out to us. God cannot become unclean. Whenever I touch someone who's unclean, I become unclean. Whenever God touches someone who is unclean, they become clean. Jesus calls her daughter, which is a term of extreme affection. He's essentially saying, beloved, cherished gift of God. You're healed. Your faith has healed you. Another time, Jesus is at a Pharisee's house. And a woman comes in. She washes his feet with her tears. She dries them with her hair. And the Pharisee is appalled. And he thinks to himself, he must not know who this woman is. Because if he knew who she was, he would not be letting her touch him. And the Pharisee's probably thinking, now I'm going to have to fumigate the house. And this lady is just, you know, God only knows what she's brought in here. She's dirty. She's disgusting. And Jesus says, who is more thankful for forgiveness? The one who didn't have very much forgiven? Or the one who had a lot that needed to be forgiven? And he says, well, I suppose the one who had a lot. And Jesus says, you know, when I walked in here, you didn't even have anybody to wash my feet. That was a big cultural faux pas. You had somebody to wash people's feet. He said, but this woman hasn't stopped washing my feet. He treated her like she mattered. Another woman Jesus encounters is the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. She's a Samaritan, so she's not only a dirty woman, she's a dirty Samaritan woman. Samaritans are scum. Samaritans are half-breeds. Samaritans are barely human. And Jesus talks to her like she matters. But then the greatest thing that God does in the Gospels is that he lets women be the first evangelists of the risen Christ. Women are unreliable witnesses. You can't trust women. They're hysterical. And God makes them the first witnesses to the most important event in all of human history. One of the reasons that the Gospels can be reliable is because nobody would have made the women witnesses to the resurrection if they were making it up. But God made women the witnesses. What does this teach us? What is the lesson of the women? The lesson of the women, there are many lessons actually, but I think that the primary one, especially, bless you, as we go into the season of Advent in just two Sundays, is this. God takes the insignificant. He takes the battered. He takes the hopeless, bless you. He takes the scum. He takes the trash, the filth. And he says, you are created in my image. And therefore, you're beautiful to me. And I will clean you up. And I will lift you up. I will give you hope. I will give you a purpose. I will make you what you were always intended to be. The Hebrew term in Genesis that is translated various ways, helper suitable, help meet, help mate. The version that I'm using here, the New Revised Standard Version, tries to get the idea a little more, a helper that, how is it they say it? It's a helper as his partner. The Hebrew word lifne is an idea. It's not a word-for-word translation type of thing. It's an idea. It's a concept. It means the mirror image, or that which complements and makes whole the other. So what God is saying is this. When he created Adam, Adam was missing something. Adam was created in his image, but he was missing something. And so he took a rib from the side. There's lots of symbolism there. The woman is at the side. The ribs protect the heart. There's lots of symbolism there. He takes a rib and he forms a woman. And what does Adam do? He sings the first hymn in all of Scripture to the woman. He's praising God, but he's praising God for the creation of Eve. Nowadays, we have all kinds of things being thrown around. We have feminism. We have neo-feminism, which took feminism and made it bad. Feminism itself is not a bad thing, but neo-feminism is lunacy. We have this thing called toxic masculinity, right? We hear about toxic masculinity. We have the battle of the sexes, as they say. And it's funny because when Adam and Eve fall, God tells Eve that your desire will be to be greater than your husband, but he will rule over you. That's pretty much literally what the Hebrew says. You will want to be greater, but he will be too strong, is essentially what's going on here. But that's not how God created it. When we talk about toxic masculinity, The original idea is not that masculinity is toxic. It's that certain types of masculinity are toxic. And the type of toxic masculinity that we're talking about is what happened in this culture. Women are trash. Women are only good for babies and boy babies at that. We only need girl babies so we can have more boy babies, right? Making sure my food's fixed. Make sure my house is clean. It's all women are good for. That's toxic masculinity, right? Nowadays, we're kind of experiencing, in some ways, toxic femininity, where it's like the men have had their time. It's time for the women to rise up, and the men need to be the oppressed ones. That's ridiculous. That's silly. And it's not what God intends. But we're human beings, and we overreact to everything. If this group is oppressed, they need to rise up and oppress that group. But what does God say? God says, in the midst of a culture where women don't amount to anything, the only people except for John who are loyal to the end are the women. In a culture where women cannot be trusted at all, they'll be the first witnesses of the risen Christ. In Bible study in the Gospel of Mark, we continue to talk about how Mark is showing that what Jesus does, the word for being saved, also means to be healed or to be restored. And we talk about, are you saved? Did Jesus save you? Did Jesus save you? And we mean from hell, right? That's essentially what we mean. Mark doesn't mean that. Mark means Jesus has healed you of what this world has done to you and has redeemed you to your original purpose. That is what God does. God takes the people nobody cares about. And he says, you're created in my image, and you're beautiful, and I love you. And therefore, I'm going to restore you back to what you are supposed to be. Paul writes that in Christ there is no male or female. Paul doesn't mean that we don't have, men and women. That's not what Paul's saying. What Paul is saying is this. Jesus tears down all the barriers that society puts up. Jesus simply says this. Follow me. That's it. Follow me, and I'll lead you. There's no other criteria initially except follow me. When you follow Jesus, you start to become more like Jesus and more like Jesus and more like Jesus. That is what we call sanctification. And people don't like that. In the Gospel of Thomas, which some people try and say is this early Christian document that should have been in the New Testament, but, the Pope didn't want it and all this kind of crazy stuff. The reason that the Gospel of Thomas is not in the New Testament is because it has a lot of strange teachings of Jesus. But one of the strangest teachings is Peter asked Jesus, what about Mary Magdalene? She's a woman. And women can't get into heaven. And Jesus says, don't worry. She'll follow me. I'll turn her into a man. Make her a male soul, and she can get into heaven. That's what the Gospel of Thomas teaches. And the early church said no. No. Because that's not what Jesus teaches. Jesus says, follow me. Man, woman, old, young, black, white, green with purple polka dots. Follow me. That's the lesson of the women. You follow Jesus. You know, Jesus told the disciples, take up their cross and follow me, right? Meaning, go all the way to the crucifixion. And only the women and John managed to make it all the way to the crucifixion. That should humble us. That the people, the society said, were garbage, are the only people who made it to the end. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Help us, Lord, to follow you. No matter what happens, help us to follow you. And we know that by your power, you will grow your church, your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. As you're able to, please stand for our final hymn, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, number 127, if you're following in the hymnal. And as always, the altar of the United Methodist Church is open to all who need prayer, who would like to join the church. Whatever you need, the altar is available for you. Now receive the benediction. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, may you follow Jesus. Don't worry about anybody else, but keep your eyes on the only one who will lead you to the Father. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are dismissed. Go in peace.
Lead on, O King eternal, the day of March has come. Henceforth in fields of conquest, thy tent shall be our home. Through days of preparation, thy grace has made us strong. And now, O King eternal,